This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, ready?
No. I'm trying to sort my trim. It's not great. Not great at all.
I mean, what if we're talking about hair before we even start? The lighting in here is so weird. Mine looks black and weird. It's very strange, but we're not here to talk about hair. Neither of us are very happy with our appearance at the moment, but what can we do? Hello and welcome to the Carpet Blue Podcast. This is our Inside Bodymore show as we preview Aston Villa's trip to Arsenal this Sunday. This podcast is sponsored by NordVPN and all the information that you need is in the description down below. I'm your host, Dan Rowlandson. I'm joined by John Townley for a very brief window that we've got available to do this podcast. We've probably got about 15 minutes. We are going to stick to the normal format, but John, we are going to rattle straight through it. The press conference, let's go. First of all, Premier League productions were at Bodymore Heath because it was a European game. So not a proper press conference. We say this every week. What did Emery say? What was the main takeaway? Go, go, go.
Main takeaway is going back to the Emirates. And I think this is the first league game for him back at the Emirates, I believe.
Oh, you told me.
It's obviously going to be a difficult game. And Emery said that it's going to be very different to when Villa played Arsenal back in December at home for many different reasons. I mean, where'd you start? Villa's home form was incredibly good. They had Kamara, they had other players who are out at the moment, and Arsenal, after their winter break, have been like exceptionally good. They've played 11 games, won 10, and the game that they didn't win was a 0-0 draw at Man City, which in itself is an incredible result. So yeah, this is going to be difficult. Of course, they will have one eye on Bayern Munich on Wednesday, and I will have an eye on that game as well. We will have two eyes on that game, or one eye on that game and one eye on the City game, maybe. I'll be out in Lille in my hotel room, or maybe at the bar or something.
You'll be using NordVPN to watch TNT Sports to watch the Champions League in France, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, so they will have one eye on that. I think it's a natural thing. It's the Champions League. They haven't been there for so long, and a lot of their players haven't played in the Champions League previously from this season. So I think they just about got through Porto. It's kind of a flip of a coin. It may be even Bayern Munich a favourites there. So I think the Arsenal players will be looking at that game. Even though we'll be, going to the Emirates with Ollie Watkins banging form, with without Luiz, granted, but I think we have enough there to get a result if we play to our best level. But of course, that is the issue at the moment. Villa haven't been anywhere near their best in recent weeks. And that's not to suggest that we're all of a sudden, we're falling away. I think that's kind of way off the mark. We're joint on points with Tottenham, aren't we? And Tottenham have a very difficult few weeks to come with their fixtures. We have Bournemouth, Chelsea at home to come in the coming weeks. Arsenal, for me, feels like a classic free hit. Not as much as the Man City one where we made so many changes, but it has different. Yeah, it has that feeling about it of, if Villa lose the game, move on to the next week, which is going to be Lille for us. But then before that, let's say those European games, those coefficient matches are very important. I know a lot of people kind of joke about it, like coefficient FC, etc. But because they matter, Arsenal and City, if they both go through, fantastic. Because all of a sudden that Liverpool result against Atalanta, if we go through, City and Arsenal. That's three clubs going through. Hopefully Dortmund get knocked out. Then all of a sudden it's three English clubs against one in Leverkusen. So that would pretty much would guarantee it, but it would go a very long way to doing it because Arsenal and Man City then play in the semi-final. Anyway, I don't want to talk about coefficients all the time. But yeah, let's go to Arsenal, do our best. Whatever the result will be. If we can get something fantastic, it'll be bonus. Bonus points come the end of May.
Absolutely. We'll talk about the game specifics in a second, but let's get the injury update out of the way. It may not affect the starting 11 for this game, but Cash and Longley both being back in training or trained with the group, I think was the phrase. I don't think either of those come in to start the game anyway, but to have them back, even if they're on the bench and can play 10 minutes, nice to have those extra options.
Yeah, precisely. It's weirdly, we have obviously Kamara, Mings and Buendia all out, but I believe this is now the full complement of players. Don't think we have any injuries as such now these two have returned to training. And
oh, the other big ones, yeah.
Well, Ramsey, of course, as well. So it's not like we haven't been hit by him. Of course we have, but we're now approaching the final weeks of the season and we've got, there's no one else on the sidelines now that will come back before the end of the season, if that makes sense. So this is what we've got, basically. Hopefully no more injuries. I'm sure they will occur at some point. Hopefully nothing too serious for anyone, but yeah, Cash and Longley, I don't think either of them will start, as you say, Dan, but it's nice to have the options now because, Villa's problems, especially defensively, you want to be able to change it up and put Konsa at centre-back instead of Carlos. Yeah. If he's looking uncomfortable or if he's not performing at his best, then he could come back in after a few weeks, whatever. You want options. Even Longley, when he played next to Torres, for example, that Fulham game, I know there was one error that allowed Fulham back in the game, but up until then, we were excellent. I keep saying that was probably our best away performance up until that point because we were so controlled against a very good team in Fulham and Longley and Torres. That was the first time they played together. So, yeah, it's good to have them back. Don't expect them to be playing against Arsenal. Maybe they both don't make the squad. Maybe they do both make the squad. We don't know. There's another training session tomorrow. Cash is back slightly ahead of schedule and it was a hamstring injury. So we need to be careful there. We don't want to lose him for any more weeks, because then all of a sudden it's the final two games of the season. We need to be careful with them, but hopefully we can manage the squad in the coming weeks. I mean, after Lille, then it would be Bournemouth, then a week off Chelsea, then if we get past Lille, then it will be the semi-finals, and then you're looking at the final three, four games of the campaign. So it's all going to come thick and fast. We need to manage the team well.
Conceding goals, not keeping clean sheets, looking shaky at set pieces is a concern in any game that we're playing. I saw a stat this morning of the shots against teams have faced, and Man United famously at top of that. In 2024, they've conceded like 250 shots or something in games this calendar year, which is ridiculous. Arsenal, the other end of that table, with something like 70, they've conceded something like four goals. So it's going to be very, very difficult for Villa to even get shots away in the game, let alone score them. And they've got a great defence themselves as well. So it's a crap question, I admit, and you will not have the answer to it. But how and can we take anything from the reverse fixture at Villa Park into Sunday to get anything?
A couple of things I'd say would be the game that we played against Arsenal was at Villa Park, of course, so it's very different. But we were out on our legs after half time, weren't we? And it feels like we'll probably be in a similar position again because we're running on empty a bit at the moment. We say we need a break. There's no point in saying it because it's not going to come. But I don't know, maybe it feels to me we go in there, if we can get something, or at least play well for 75, 70 minutes or whatever it may be, that could just give us confidence, which, football's a strange game. If you are confident, you feel like you can run for another 20 minutes or people don't know what I mean by that. And the other thing I would say is, firstly, we've beaten them having already done it on empty, really. It wasn't like swashbuckling football against Arsenal. It was for the first 20 minutes, like it was against City, but then the rest of it was more of a kind of defensive job. So they will have confidence they've done it against the same set of players. But then equally, I don't see Arsenal playing the same 11 that played against Bayern Munich, which was their strongest 11. They've still got brilliant players in reserve, i.e. Trossard and other players. But I don't know, even defensively, maybe there's some changes that we made. I saw someone mentioning that Gabriel wasn't spotted in training. I don't know if he did it on his own and he's just doing it for a bit of rest and then he'll play against Villa. I don't know. But if I was a neutral, I'd look at this game and say, this is a game where Arsenal can slip up. Not necessarily because Villa are playing to the best level at the moment, but we're still a very good team. As I say, we joined fourth, and we have been fourth for a long time. We've already beaten Arsenal this season. We have arguably the most informed striker in the Premier League right now in Ollie Watkins. Conceding goals is a problem, but going down the other end, I'm not sure. Yes, Arsenal don't concede many chances, but as I say, if they have an eye on Bayern Munich, and if they make a couple of changes in defensive positions, if Zinchenko plays, that opens it up for Bailey a little bit. You know, little things here and there, and you know, we'll have to probably suffer for 70% of the game. But if we can take our moments when they arrive,
yeah, that'd be critical, isn't it? Because exactly, you'd like to think we will create chances on the counter, yeah. But if you get three or four chances in this game, you've got to score at least one to have any chance of getting anything.
Yeah, we're gonna have to play a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 game to get something from the match, but we've done it before, so that's why I'm not coming into it thinking, oh no, this is gonna be a hiding or whatever. And yeah, Arsenal could beat us 2-0, potentially even 3-0 comfortably. Yeah, that can happen, of course it can. But you know, there'd be no shame in it at the same time, I don't think, because Villa fans especially, I think they know where the team is at right now. We need to get through these weeks as best as possible, and Arsenal is a very difficult match, especially away from home. So yeah, expectations are quite low, but at the same time, you know, it's okay. We know where this season is going to be won or lost, if that makes sense. And I don't think it's going to be the Emirates.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. But I'm not of the mindset, and Unai Emery won't be either, to go, oh well, by the reserves, you know, let's make five or six changes, let's focus on Leo's second leg. That won't be the case at all. There was the comments in the programme, wasn't there, on Thursday night about, you know, I've been asked questions, whether this was Unai Emery's words verbatim is another thing, but I've been asked questions about how I prioritise the games, and it's like every game's important, basically.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the Unai Emery factor, going back to his former club, going to put a spanner in the works for the title race? Is there anything in that, or is that kind of like media narrative?
I hope to God that there is. Could you imagine? Oh, Twitter will be a fun place on Sunday night. Oh, my days.
Second season Emery bottling it, but goes to the Emirates and steals some points off them and stops them winning the title. Oh, love that.
You can bookmark tweets now, can't you? All the Villa fans bookmarking those tweets from months ago. I think probably not, because it's been such a long time now and so much has happened. I think Emery went there with Villarreal and won, if I'm not mistaken. So he's already had that experience, and Arsenal they're doing their thing. We're doing our thing. As I say, it was a long time ago now, really. So if it was, I don't know, the year after and Arsenal was still in the mire, then maybe there'd be more of an attention on it. But even in this press conference today, I think there was only one question about him returning to the Emirates, and usually there's a lot more. But yeah, just on those questions about Arsenal before Lille, Emery was asked obviously about it, as per his press conference, program notes. And he did say, like, no, I'm not talking about Arsenal. It's, you know, to think we're in a press conference ahead of Lille, which is going to be a really difficult game, and it was. We're not thinking about Arsenal at all. My team selection won't be impacted by it, etc. He, you know, full focus on the game ahead, and I think that's going to be the same for this Arsenal match, and then Lille will take care of itself afterwards. But as a side note, Villa do want more support from the Premier League about these, fitting these games in with the European commitments as well, and they're not the only club in the Premier League as well, because as we know, Lille have got
how that would work though, do you?
It's not, this isn't the case that Villa would like a game to be picked up and taken away. It's more different timings, and it doesn't seem to be any conversation around it, is the point. Whereas the LFP have just said, yep, Marseille, PSG and Lille, you're not playing this week because you need to win your games to boost our coefficient. You know, that simple. Whereas I don't think this conversation's happening, you know, officially. For example, when Villa played Tottenham, either side of their games against Ajax, I think it was.
Yeah.
The game is at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, which, on a Sunday, that's fine. But why 1 o'clock when when we were moved just because another match was moved? You know, it doesn't fit in terms of the rest periods, etc., which is very important these days. You know, science in football, etc. I think Villa would like a bit more support in other clubs as well. But it's just interesting because Lille, as I say, they've got 6-7 days rest, and that will probably play a part at some point in the match, you know, later on, I presume. So, you know, it's a huge advantage, really, when you think about it. Villa going to the Emirates, running around Arsenal, keeping the ball for a long time, and then having to then go to France and play in front of 50,000, and they're going to have less energy. It's,
Yeah, fair enough.
You don't seem convinced by that.
No, because I'm not really sure. Cause I suppose kickoff times is something. I don't think the Premier League could do what the French League has done and just like postpone a game. Because where, especially this side of the season, where'd you put it?
Yeah, I don't think Villa are asking for games to be postponed necessarily, and where do you put it? I guess, you know, that's not I don't know.
Villa, so I'd be thinking, yeah, you know, we always say about expected to have points on the board than games in hand. If we were going, oh, we'll skip two games because we've got to focus on Lille, where do we fit those two massive Premier League games in? Then we're two games behind Spurs and Man United. Like, I'd rather it be left as it is, but you're right. Why 1 o'clock on a Sunday when it could be, I don't know,
well, it was only moved,
Monday night football or even the 4:30 on a Sunday?
Exactly. It could have been 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you know, because
Spurs
the times
played Forest at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, didn't they? Why couldn't we have had that kind of slot?
Yeah, exactly. The times at the moment mean nothing. And so why should we play at 1 o'clock just because it suits Sky Sports? That, you know, yeah, it's, again, it's nothing official. They're just, Villa would like a bit more support. Maybe conversations happen in the summer, I don't know. And they'll have a plan for what, if they were to say anything, what they would say. And that's not something that I know. But yeah, you're right. Where would you put the other games? And it's a big conversation around that, but we'll find out.
Predicted 11 time then. Now, we're not going to get the whiteboards out like we did on Monday and kind of guess two 11s, which I was very close to getting the Lille 11 spot on. You suspected there'd be a few more changes and that was not the case. I will only ask you for yours for Arsenal this time, despite me technically being better at this guessing game than you are.
Talking of guessing games, yeah. Do you know what my score prediction was?
I do know what your score prediction was, and I also wanted to go 2-1, and I changed it from 2-1 just for the sake of the podcast. I said 3-1. So we should both have got the score prediction right there, to be honest.
Well, only one of us did. Anyway, predicted 11.
No Douglas Luiz, obviously, is the elephant in the room.
And that makes it almost easier to pick the team, because Tielemans, McGinn, midfield, Diaby, Bailey, Watkins, Rodgers left, and then the defence. The only decision there is Dean or Moreno, and I'd play Dean, but he's played 3 games in a row, so maybe Moreno comes in. I doubt Dean plays this game and then Lille again, because that's then 5 in a row in a short amount of time. So, yeah, there's a few decisions for Emery. He might throw a spanner in and put Zaniolo and Tim, maybe. I'm not sure, because he did it against City, which clearly shows that there is part of him that feels like this is probably too much for Villa at the moment, and can they do it? Or is it a game worth expending your energy on? Which doesn't sound great, but that's the reality of it at the moment, because Villa have been hit with so many injuries. If they had the full complement of players, you know, the whole squad, I think we'd be able to do it, and it would still be a struggle then. Yeah, right now it just feels like we are running low on energy, and yeah, I don't know. The team would pick itself if it was a normal match without any European commitments in between, etc. But it's not. It's a match sandwiched between a quarter final.
Yes, no, Douglas Luiz is massive. Like, that's such a big blow. I'm still really irritated about that yellow card that he's got to miss this one. Because if he was playing, we'd have, you know, 5% greater chance of getting something here. It's still difficult, but you want your best players playing, and he's one of our best players. But I don't think you'll see that level of rotation, regardless of the Lille situation. I think
not that level of rotation, but there might be, you know, two changes, which could be Tim and Zaniolo, two players who probably wouldn't start if it was a normal game. As I say, I think you're right. I can't see him taking out 3 or 4 players like last time, because that would be, you know, our chances would go down to what, 5%.
Let's say we go up early at the Emirates and we score in the first 10-15 minutes, they get a red card or a penalty or whatever it is, and that changes the complexion of the game. Arsenal have had basically no injuries this season, and Arsenal fans will say, oh, we've had a couple, but like, imagine the fanfare. We've missed Kamara for half a season. Declan Rice was taken out of Arsenal for half a season. They wouldn't be in the title race. That's just one bad injury. If they'd have had a couple, they'd be nowhere near it, but that doesn't get spoken about. Let's say, and I don't mean this in a way of, oh, let's hope players get injured, but if they did get an injury at some point during the game, that affects things as well. So to just be like, oh, that's a game, we'll lose, move on to the next one, is stupid to say, because anything can happen in football. If it was that easy to predict, we'd all win the pools, wouldn't we? Which is an outdated reference. but it's not that simple to predict, so I'm not going to be like, oh, well, we'll lose, that's the end of that, because 90 minutes of football to be played, anything can happen.
Yeah, and we have a great record at the Emirates as well. Like, even last year, I know we lost, but that was an Arsenal team going for the league until the last 6 games of the season when they capitulated. But that was also one of Villa's worst teams for a long time, and we were 1-1 in the 75th or something, because we scored from a corner. Like, things happen, and I'd take being 1-1, being at 1-1, sorry, with 50 minutes left. I know, was it Martinelli scored like straight after? So it didn't matter. You just say it's the game state, isn't it? That's what people call it these days. You just don't know what's going to happen, so... Yeah.
Having said all that, 4-0 Arsenal. No, I'm joking. Predictions time then. Last time out, Wolves, you predicted 2-0 and got it bang on. We don't track the Conference League games, but you got that bang on as well. So you're on form here, John.
Brentford was a draw, wasn't it? So we didn't get that one.
We didn't do a preview for Brentford, did we? Because I was off. Or it is super tight in the predictions league with six Premier League games to go, I think, including this one for Villa. We have me in the lead with 23 points. We have John Townley in second place, aka last, with 22 points.
1 point off the top.
Exactly, yeah. 1 point off the title. It's all to play for, John. Every
prediction I'm also doing counts. Well in Europe, but apparently European competitions don't count.
Doesn't count. We've never tracked a European one, so that's what it is. I've got more correct score lines, bang on. You've got more correct just outcomes, I think. Are you going to go serious with what you actually think will happen because of the prediction league, or are you going to have your Villa head on and just, oh, Villa, we're going to win?
Villa can get something out of the game, but... you know, we're going to one of the title favourites away from home. So I think 2-1 Arsenal.
A Villa defeat predicted. You've only ever predicted us to lose two, both the Man City games, and now Arsenal makes it three. I've predicted us to only lose the two, the same as you as well, the Man City ones. I'm not going to go Arsenal. Like you said, we could get something out of this game. We also could be beaten 4-1 and it be that Arsenal are ruthless. Like, that could absolutely happen. That could absolutely happen. I understand that, because there'll be people thinking, oh, these two are overly confident that Arsenal could batter us, and they could. I appreciate that. For the sake of being a positive Villa fan rather than trying to win the predictions league, this probably won't happen. I'm going to go 2-2.
You know what? It's because, you know, you bang out of form. You're trying to play to the gallery. You know, I'm coming behind you. you're practicing. You know
who wants to win the prediction league anyway? What is this nonsense spreadsheet?
You know that Chase video, and he's like, oh, forget it. I'm done.
that is me, basically. 2-2 for me, 2-1 for Arsenal, for John. And that it brings this episode to an end. We'll do a post-match show for the Arsenal game on Sunday evening. Remember, if you want to get your NordVPN discount code, that is down below as well. I've seen a few people say they've signed up, so that's great to see, because it's helping the Climate Blue podcast grow and whatever else. So thank you for all your support. Don't laugh, John. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Sunday.